Damn, Chidge, we're back. Fun Bag Friday.
Fun Bag Friday.
Get the bat, whatever we're talking this thing.
No, it's Fun Bag Friday.
Something in my nose.
Segment. the show is called Fun Bag Friday still, and a segment.
Oh, yeah, we have a segment, Casey at the bat. Okay, we're getting, I understand.
We're starting to organize ourselves here a little bit.
Yeah.
Also, beautiful week up here in the Northeast. Finally, holy crap. The weather's finally breaking. It might be summertime.
I know. Every time you think it's summertime, it's like, oh, yeah, it's 65. Then it's like 20.
Damn.
Yeah, 25,
nails
yeah.
In head. Nails in the head. Yeah. But anyway, so let's get, we got so much baseball to actually talk about. News. Guys are hot. Teams are hot. Yeah. So let's start a little Casey at the bat with some crappy news, I hate to say. Max Scherzer out 6 to 8 weeks with the oblique. They already got DeGrom. They're doing so well. The poor Mets, they just don't need these injuries. But I guess that's how baseball works, huh?
Well, dude, I think the biggest thing about baseball is you have to realize, go look at any team that wins the whole thing. Mm. You have to have horses in your minor league system. You have to have free agent signings where your depth is your depth off the bench, your depth in the pen, your depth in the rotation has got to be there because you're going to have injuries. Now, I don't know if you think that DeGrom and Scherzer, your two biggest horses in the league, are going to be hurt for as long as they've been hurt. You know, DeGrom is probably not coming back till late June, July, you know, with the with his injury. And then McGill, who's their, you know, young kid stud who ended up starting opening day, he's out too. So Scherzer being out 6 to 8 weeks is a huge hit for them. I just really believe, dude, there's something about the Mets. There's something about Buck Showalter. I figure he'll figure out a way, even if he has to go to the pen more, if he has to mix and match guys. You know, Chris Bassett's done a nice job in that rotation so far. So, but that's a huge one, bro. Scherzer for 2 months, and DeGrom's already out, and, you know, you're trying to get to where you want to go. I mean, that's a big hit.
Yeah,
big
hit. You know, one thing that you could be hopeful, like take a positive out of a negative. Lindor got off to that super hot start. He is he's done almost nothing offensively for a couple weeks, which you know he's going to. So hopefully, you know, for them, you know, you lose Scherzer, your pitching going down, but you still got a superstar shortstop who can hit 7 home runs in 10 days. So, you know, hopefully he can kind of pick it up. He is the superstar. That's why you got him. So,
well, they got the bats have been swinging it. Alonzo's got a good thing going. I mean, that lineup put the ball in play better than any team in the league. So, you know, top to bottom, they're really good.
Yeah. Well, but then another little Debbie Downer topic, but there's a positive out of this one is Bryce Harper's got that, what is it, the UCL?
UCL, yeah. He's got a slight UCL tear, which is the ulnar collateral ligament, which is basically Tommy John. I saw him a few months ago, like a month ago, earlier in the season, you know, throw a ball in from right field. He kind of grabbed his fingers that
pins
nerve, you know what I mean? Yeah, dude, So, like, I was like, man, something's not right. Well, the great thing about being the universal DH now, the DH being in the NL, it saves the Phillies because if that's the case and he has to play right field, he can't play right field right now. So the DH saves the Phillies from Bryce Harper's injury. Now he can still be in the lineup. He said it doesn't hurt him when he hits. He's still raking and doing his thing. So, you know, it's the universal DH, you know, strikes to be a positive for one of the best hitters in the game, your reigning MVP.
Yeah, that's great. But also, let me go back quick. Have you had the oblique situation when you played? That's terrible for baseball players.
You know what? Yeah. Well, when I think back, I one time had an oblique strain in 2006. Well, people used to say, "Hey, you can't pull fat back in the day." I'm like, "Listen, I'm jacked underneath," you know. So, but I remember in 2006, I'm with the Pirates. I get a slight oblique strain. And it's at the end of July. So, like, I'm in a dicey situation. And then it was Sean Casey bobblehead night in PNC Park, bro. 50,000, whatever, 40,000 people, whatever it holds. Sold out crowd. I'm like, oh, yeah. And I'm feeling pretty good. I'm ready to play. And I remember Dave Littlefield, the GM at the time, calls me in his office for the game. He's like, hey, listen, Casey. He's like, I know it's your bobblehead night, but I can't play you. I'm like, what do you mean you can't play me? It's bobblehead night. Pittsburgh, you know, it's my hometown. He goes, we're going to trade you tomorrow.
What?
And I'm like, yeah, because, you know, and I'm like, all right, well, and I was with the Pirates. We're the worst team in baseball, so I was kind of excited at the time. Yeah. But I wasn't excited. I wasn't going to play on my bobblehead night. And then the next day, I got traded to the Tigers? Detroit Tigers. Next day or the day after, 2 days later, I got traded to the Detroit Tigers at the deadline.
Wow, what do you call that going from the – that year that's going from the shithouse
to the outhouse to the penthouse.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. And then next thing you know, you hit like 700 in the World Series a couple years later.
One phone call, bro. I went to the worst team to the best team in baseball. I'm like, thank you very much.
Oh, my God.
And Jim Leland called. He's like, can you meet us in Tampa tonight? I was like, hell yeah, I'll meet you in Tampa.
Unbelievable. Well, one guy got traded a couple years ago to the New York Yankees, and nobody liked this deal. I know I did as a Yankee fan. But it was
did or didn't?
I loved it. But people were like, why are you going to take that contract? Whatever the guy I'm talking about is Giancarlo Stanton, formerly Mike. And what I was excited about at the time, I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't care. First of all, nobody's going to fight this team because you have Stanton and Judge, and they're just monsters.
Dude, those guys are so big. Standing next to them on the field, which I had before, they are two gigantic men.
And tell everybody, what are you, 6'4"? And a half.
Yeah, I'm 6'4", 235. I felt so small to those guys. It looked like RoboCop's doppelganger. Both of them. Like, holy shit, is this RoboCop's doppelganger?
But so I want to start. Let's start on the Stanton side of things because, again, like he's almost like one of the most undervalued power. The guy's hit 50 home runs in a season. He's almost breaking records. You got to give him credit where it's due, and he's raking this year. Raking.
Dude, I tell you what, talking to Booney, you know, last year about Stanton, he's like, bro, if he stays healthy, he's one of the best hitters in the game. And they're like, oh, yeah, you know, you just think he's this home run hitter?
Yeah.
Dude, Stanton can hit. Go back and look at his numbers, like his numbers when he was MVP. If you can pull those up, like back with the Marlins, like, dude, he's one of the best hitters in the game. Right now, he's right at 300. He's hitting 299 right now. He's got 11 bombs, 35 ribbies. He's got a 912 OPS. Mm-hmm. And he's playing a little bit of right field, too. He's DHing and playing right field. He's not a bad right fielder, too. Right. Used to be really good. But, you know, I think, you know, he just has had some injuries. But you go look at his career stats.
I got him.
He's a career 270 hitter, 358 homers, almost 1,000 RBIs.
Right.
He stole 42 bases with a 900 OPS. He's still an elite player in the game, dude. He's only 32.
Right.
He just has been injured for so many years.
Right, and people want to complain, oh, batting average doesn't count. First of all, it does count. He's hitting 300 now. He had 288 last year.
Yes,
he had 281 the year he hit 59 home runs. I'm pretty sure that's really, really good. And he does get on base. He's had a 400 on base 1 year, 387 in 20. What else we got?
Yeah.
354. What the hell else do you want from this guy? He's going to be a Hall of Famer, I hope.
Well, I think the biggest thing was just the injuries. You know, all the money. You got that $300 million contract. And then, oh, man, this guy's playing 50 games, 40 games. A lot of lower extremity injuries. I think I'm almost positive. Matter of fact, I'm positive. He changed up his off-season routine from lifting weights to more like yoga Pilates, type. Stretching, because he's such a big guy already. Mm. You don't need to be tighter. And a lot of his injuries have been pulling his hammies, pulling his quads. Mm. Now he's like, okay, you know, getting longer, leaner. A lot of these guys are doing that. Bryce Harper's a big Pilates guy.
Yeah.
These guys are getting longer, leaner. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and think about this. Think about this, Chinch. It's that bow and arrow effect when you hit. If you have muscles that could stretch with the strength, you got that string. Now you can really launch the bow. Mm. If you're too tight and you're just, you know, now you only get a certain amount of stretch, and now that's when you get hurt. And that, you know, it's too much of a grind, bro. 162, it's too much of a grind on these guys' bodies. And a lot of those, like I said, you start the you know, the muscle injuries of the pulls and the tweaks and all
you,
that
you
stuff.
You know, I give a lot of credit for stepping out and saying he did that stuff back in the day. Because back in the day, it was like, oh, you know, men don't do yoga. Go into the weight room and lift and bench as much as you can. Evan Longoria was so outspoken when he started doing it when he was with the Rays, and he would like videotape it and be like, you got to do yoga, you got to stretch. And then it almost became like, oh, this isn't just like a wimpy thing to do. This is probably more productive than going into the gym and banging barbells against your head.
Have you ever done yoga too?
It's not so easy.
They're like, hold this pose.
My hamstring is about to pop out of my leg. Oh my God. That is a grind. And then people do hot yoga. Have you ever done? I've never done hot yoga.
No, but my buddy Jay Adams one time said he did hot yoga. He's like, Case, I couldn't take it anymore. Yeah. I go, did you leave the class? He's like, no, I just laid in my sweat in the back and just laid down. I'm like, God, it's even worse.
Yeah, no.
Get out of the class.
I feel like I'd have six heart attacks if I tried to do that. Now, meanwhile, Judge, let's get to him. Every time he swings a bat, I feel like that's an extra $4,000 he's going to get on his contract because he is tearing it up.
I do. Now, you as a Yankee fan, this is a good question for you because I do think of that. you know, listen, if he stays healthy, he's going to be in the MVP conversation, because it's right now, it's between him and Ohtani. Mm-hmm. The problem with Ohtani, it's just nothing we've ever seen before. So it's they almost need to do a new award, like the Hank Aaron Award and the MVP. You know, you have the Cy Young, then do the Hank Aaron Award for the hitter, and then the MVP, because you got to change it now. Ohtani could win it every year.
You should just call it the Ohtani Award and make it both.
Nobody's doing what he's doing. If he stays healthy, it's so much tough. But, you know, when you look at Judge, it's so funny because they made him that offer that he turned down. But now are the Yankees going to be like, oops, we should have paid him, you know, what he wanted or a little bit more. But I don't know, man. I can't. I hope Cashman at some point says, you know what? Let's do the right thing. Let's keep Judge in New York. Let's pay him what he's worth. You know, even though it's a ton of money. I get it. Seven years, 210.
Right.
But listen, there's other guys getting more money than Judge. This guy's one of the best players in the game.
Yeah. You know my thing about him, too? First of all, he's a very smart hitter. I don't know. I just get that idea. And I think he's a good hitter anyway. He goes the other way. He's not a guy who needs to sit and spin. So, seriously, I don't mind him. I'm not as concerned about 38-year-old Judge as I would be of some other power hitters. I think he could make adjustments. And if you have to give him that extra year or two, you still might get like a 280, 25, and 75 in those last 2 years that you don't normally get from like the guys in their once they get towards 40. I think he could still be a productive player when he's not the big, powerful, strongest guy in a league anymore.
I totally agree. That's a great point, because this guy's a good hitter, right? He's a good hitter. Like, you go back to the home run derby, I think it's 17 in Miami. He was hitting his homers second deck right center.
Yes. Unbelievable.
So, like, his approach is that, like, this guy can hit, man. And you're right. He's a knowledgeable hitter. He knows what he's doing. And I think he's going to age really well. And he plays great defense. So you're not just getting a DH right now. You're getting a guy who plays a really good outfield, too.
Right. Yeah, right. Exactly. And you look at these guys nowadays, the way they train and everything like that. Like you said,
can you imagine the Yankees without Judge?
No.
Come on.
Forget it. The person, too. It's the person just as much about as a great player. Guy. He's a perfect Yankee. I think, you know, you give him this contract, hopefully in a year or two, you put the C on him too. I would put it right there, put a captain on him. And they've only had a few in their time, you know, but think about it. He's very Jeter like, he's very Mattingly like in the way he carries himself and plays a game. Why not?
Yeah.
You know,
love it.
Got a lot of stuff going here. All right. So now a guy who is on the tail end, he's literally at the end of his career, and it's Albert Pujols. And he keeps climbing up the ladder of all-time greatest hitters of all time.
It's amazing, man. What is he, 10th on the list now, over 3,300 hits? He just passed Eddie Collins, I think.
Yeah.
But it was great because, you know, in that game the other night against Scherzer, before Scherzer came out of the game, 2-0 game, he tries to, you know, get one by Pujols. Pujols catches it deep, which, you know, he's great at that, shoots it down the first baseline. I think it hits the bag for, gets, you know, two ribbies. You know, I mean, dude, this guy can still hit. I want to say he's hitting like 280, something like that, and still driving in some runs.
And it's a mental thing too, right? This guy's one of the strongest hitters of all time. So like he can still really hang, and he can still contribute. Like you saw it with Yadi last night. Yadi had only had like one hit against Scherzer in his entire career, and it was a runner on base. And Yadi's up there, and he slapped the ball to dead center field like he had 15 hits off of Scherzer. These guys are so great that they could still.
Yeah.
I'm so glad Pujols out there. I don't really like seeing him on a mound the other day, but.
Whatever. No, but I think the more you face guys too, the more you know the game plans. You know, even though a guy like when I would face Randy Johnson, even though his stuff was nasty, I'm like, okay, I've seen that 100 mile an hour fastball, I've seen the 92 mile an hour slider. Like, at least I can have a game plan, have a shot. You know, hey, listen, sometimes I'm looking more slider. You know, even though I'm a hunt the fastball guy, his slider was hard enough where I was like, okay, I'm going to give him the inside part of the plate, look middle away, and really work off that slider. Well, if I saw him one or two times, I'm like, I don't have that game plan. But in that, I saw him two, three, four, five times. I'm like, okay, now I could have some sort of game plan too. And so that's how you see these veteran guys hitting veteran pitchers that are still nasty.
Yeah, that's awesome. Good point there. Good analysis there, buddy.
Yeah. All
right, let's keep rolling. You're on fire.
I do it for a living, bro.
That's a fair point. Anyway, okay, next guys. Let's stay out west. There's so much Yankee Mets talk these days because, you know, East Coast bias represent.
Yeah.
You know, people don't like that. But the Dodgers bats are getting hot again, and they are the team you look at them first and look at everybody else second, right? I mean,
yeah. Oh, well, dude, the Dodgers, you know, they're kind of starting, you know, getting going. They've been playing well, but you know, they're 25-12 and they're the bats are kind of just getting going.
Yeah, right.
And look at the Padres and the Giants are right there too. But man, that, you know, just when you look up and down this lineup, let me pull up their lineup really quick because it's worth looking at. But you know, when you go up and down this Dodgers lineup, you got Betts starting to get it going, which he came out the gate scuffling. Freddie Freeman's been swinging it. Trey Turner, you know, this guy's a stud. Will Smith can swing it behind the dish. Max Muncy has, you know, been out, and he's probably the one guy scuffling, but he'll get it going. Justin Turner's getting a little hot. You know, Bellinger's interesting for me because he kind of got off to that hot start. I was like, oh, here he goes. And, like, here he is lingering at 205 again. Yeah. So, interesting to see, you know, what Cody Bellinger are they going to get this year. Chris Taylor doing his thing. Gavin Lux is swinging. They're just so deep. And that rotation with Bueller and Kershaw and Arias, you know, those guys, they're just loaded.
Don't forget they got the closer who's struggled the other night. But, come on, you got Kimbrel back there now, too. Like, they just keep reloading. And don't sleep on them doing something at the break. If there's a hole missing, they fill it. No questions asked.
Yeah.
It'll actually be interesting that a lot of the big boy teams, big money teams, Yankees, Dodgers, if they all stay at the top and there's trades to be made, it'll be very interesting to see how aggressive the you know, the big money teams get with that stuff.
No, it'll be interesting to see. You know, another guy that I was thinking of, that just going back to the Yankees real quick, is that Michael King out of the bullpen.
Yes, dude, his stuff is computerized.
Nasty stuff, dude, and he's just been lights out for them, man.
Yeah, super lights out.
Totally lights out, and just, you know, been a guy that's kind of flying under the radar. But I think the big thing for the Yankees has kind of been, oh, wait, is their bullpen good enough? And you're starting to see guys like King and, you know, these guys that are dominating at the back end.
And that actually takes some pressure off. You know, Chapman's getting a little older. He's in the last year of this deal. And honestly, somebody made a good point. I would never want to see this happen. But if the Yankees do start really struggling with Chapman and he's not doing his best, I mean, he is in a contract year, they would have less pressure to put King in to close or somebody else in to close. Ideally, their best team is Chapman as a closer. There's not even a question.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, if he scuffles, you can give him 3 or 4 days off and let one of the other guys close. That's got to help you throughout the season, you know?
No, it's huge. It's huge. When you look at King's stuff right now, he's got 25 innings pitched. He's punching out 37 punch-outs, got a 1-4. He's been lights out.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And you know, and you and I know, you know, we've watched the Yankees get close, but, you know, when you have a lights-out bullpen,
That's the
difference, dude. That's the game changer.
It is. Well, now let's go back out west again, because we were talking before, and it's like, wow, the Astros, they're hanging. They're still the Astros, no matter what, no matter who leaves, who comes, first place. Yep. But the cool thing is about that is, you know, a lot of people love to hate the Astros, and everybody's been pissed off at the Angels for so many years for not getting Mike Trout into the postseason, and they are a game out entering play Friday. It would be so great to see Ohtani and Trout on a big stage, please, for like...
No, one time, yeah, you know, exactly. Well, you know, you go up and down that lineup when you talk about, you know, you talk about Taylor Ward and Walsh and these guys. These guys are, you know, that lineup's now just not Trout and Ohtani.
No.
You know, you got Ward, Ohtani, Rendon's been swinging it a little bit.
Yep.
Walsh is having another nice year. Yeah. You know, they have some guys that you know, that can, you know, have some juice, so...
Yeah.
You know, the rotation, you know, Ohtani's been dominant. You know, you like to see, you know, Detmer threw that no-hitter the other day. Mm-hmm. And they have some guys that are some pretty good players. So I'm just like you, Chinch. If you're a baseball fan, you want to see Trout and Ohtani in October.
Yeah.
You don't want to be like, oh, Ohtani won the MVP, but they didn't make it. Trout won another MVP, but they didn't make it. No.
Right.
We want to see these guys on the big stage.
Absolutely.
East Coast time.
Yeah. East Coast time. Yes. You say that now, and then you're sitting in a bullpen over in Seacock. It's at 1:49 a.m. on September 3rd going, damn it. They're too good right now. We got to stay like that.
So true.
People don't understand that. You know, somebody said to me once, which was very interesting, why don't the football networks and most of the football stuff is based in Los Angeles? Nearly everything about baseball is based in New York tri-state area as far as like the league offices and stuff. And it's strange because you would think it should be the opposite way, because Good Morning Football on Sundays, they get up, they start their show at like 4 a.m. West Coast time. And here, you know, if you're doing a late show. and that Dodgers Giants game goes 14, you're walking out of a building at 5:30 in the morning some nights. That happens about 10 times a year at those places. So you people at home, don't sleep on the work these people do behind the scenes with these hours. It's terrible.
Seems like you know that firsthand, Chip.
Oh, yeah. There have been plenty of times. The only good thing is you can get from New Jersey to Long Island in about 25 minutes, going 109 when you're in a lane car. I don't recommend that to many people. But anyway.
So you've heard that, right?
Yeah, I've heard that.
A friend told you that.
Yeah. There have been times where I almost flew off the GW bridge. Anyway, I don't recommend that to people. What else we got, dude? There's so much other. This is a good storyline year so far, as far as baseball is concerned. You know, because we haven't even... Look, I'm looking at something right now. Look, this is ridiculous. I'm looking at it right now. This is from Buster Olney. Should the Nationals trade Juan Soto?
Soto, yeah. Well, I think they tried to. They've already offered him a really long-term deal for a lot of money. He's not a free agent until after 2024, right? Or 2024, so... I don't know, man.
Oh, my goodness.
I think if you're not going to get anything for him, and you know, if you can't sign him and you're maybe not going to win right away,
what do you have to? Okay,
it's a big number.
If you are trading for him, what do you have to give up? Like, here, take double A, take our double A, just change it to the whatever team you're taking. Like, what do you have to trade to get Juan Soto right now?
Best hitter in baseball. You're going to have to trade some big time prospects. Like, you're going to have to trade him probably a major league one or two major league ready guys and two big prime prospects. But the biggest thing for the team that gets Soto is, like, you want to be able to sign him.
Oh yeah. Oh right. And that's not a guaranteed thing.
So if you get him on a rental, you're going to lose a lot of prospects and maybe a really good major leaguer or two.
Yeah.
If you're trading for Juan Soto, he's so young. He's 23 years old. He's a guy you want to try and lock up for 10 years. Oh, you know, it's going to probably cost you 400 some mil.
Yeah. Man, money. So good to be able to hit 330 in the big leagues.
You're going to be okay, bro.
Anyway, speaking of young guys, dude, this draft you are extremely excited about because there's a lot of guys, a lot of familiar names, just a little younger.
Well, it's so funny. There's a lot of kids in this draft that are, you know, that are some of the really best players in the game back in the day. It's their sons.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start off with Drew Jones. Mm-hmm. I mean, Andrew Jones' son. He's probably going to be the number one pick of the draft. This kid's an absolute stud. Big time ceiling. Great bat. Great power. Mm. Can go get it. I don't know if he can go get it like his dad, because I believe there's not a person in Major League Baseball history.
Mm.
That could go get it like Andrew Jones.
Right.
And if you don't think so, go ask the Braves pitchers. Go ask the guys that played the corner outfielders. This guy covered gap to gap like you wouldn't believe. And he used to play in. Chinch, it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
If you hit a ball like, you know, you get jammed and you're hitting a little, you know, duck fart into the outfield, that's usually a hit. With Andrew Jones, he could go back so well. So he would play shallow. Most center fielders aren't playing. He plays so shallow, but he could go back so good. His jumps were so good. He would cover those little bloopers. Yeah. Amazing.
John Smoltz always said, greatest center fielder that's ever lived in his
career. I think so, dude. Yeah, the great. He's a Hall, to me, he's a Hall of Famer. 10 years, Gold Gloves. But Jackson Holliday, too. Matt Holliday's son out of Stillwater, Oklahoma. This kid's an absolute stud. Mm-hmm. Left-handed bat. And, you know, one of the top talents in the class. Big dude, big kid. Just has a really powerful left-handed stroke.
Yeah.
Do you know who else is not a he's not a baseball player's son, but he's a football player's son. Elijah Green.
Dude, I was going to bring him up. Yeah, Eric
you
Green.
Eric Green? Yeah, tight end for the Steelers, dude. Stud.
Yeah.
From Liberty College. Yeah, like this guy's a stud, Tamar, dude. 6'3". Stud.
Was he 18, Tamar? I'm sorry, Green. 6'3", 225.
Just a great athlete, too, man. Yeah,
I wasn't.
Right now, there's some swing and miss questions, but when you're 18, there's a lot of swing and miss questions for everyone, you know, at times. Yeah. Also, too, Luke Collier's son.
Right.
Cam Collier.
Uh-huh.
He's playing at a JUCO right now, Chipola Junior College, but
crazy.
He says, you know, he's going to be probably top of the first round, middle of the first round, but then Justin Crawford, Carl Crawford's son.
Yes. People forget, every time I hear about Justin, I think about how electric Carl Crawford, he might have been the last kind of like Ricky Henderson type guy, you know,
dude,
when he was with the Rays, That dude could fly, man.
Yeah, the stud. And there's a local kid here named Cole Young.
Yeah.
This is a great story. Cole Young, he's going to be a first-round pick, shortstop. He's out of North Allegheny High School out here. When my son Jake was playing 12-year-old against Ingemar, right?
Yeah.
They brought this 11-year-old to play for their team. Bro.
11?
By far the best player on the field. Could rake. And I remember grabbing him in the parking lot on the way out, and I said, hey, man. This, you know, I remember Jim Leland always saying, hitters are born. I'm like, this kid is born to hit. And I remember grabbing him and saying, hey, man, if you want to, you know, you got a chance to at least play Division I baseball or do some great things in this game, keep working hard. And here we are 7 years later, bro. He's going to be a first-round pick out of Pittsburgh.
Unbelievable. The other guy everybody loves is Tamar Johnson. Have you got to see any video on him?
Stud, no, but he's a stud, too.
His numbers are all, I mean, like five-tool, like hitting numbers are high. The way they rank these kids, I still don't. I don't know. I understand. Yeah. I understand how they value. Like, what do you take on this? Your kids just went through. Like, there are scouting grades on 17, 16, 15-year-old kids now. Like, look, here's Tamar. I'm just pulling up. Hit 70, power 60, run 50, arm 50, field 55, overall 60. And you're like, wait a minute, this kid's 17 years old. How do you even know that yet? How do you even know how good of a power? I mean, you can project a little bit.
Yeah, you project. You don't know, but you project the power, yeah.
Yeah.
Kevin Parada, too, Georgia Tech catcher. Yes. My son Jake, you know, played them the other night, and, man, this kid's going to be a stud, too.
Well, wait a minute. We did not cover something yet in this. Sean Casey's son hit a baseball as far as I have ever seen the other day. Can you take us back to this real quick?
Well, dude, he wasn't playing against Georgia Tech, and I was like about to go to bed, and I turned on the game. It was on like the, you know, Kent State streaming channel. Yeah. They're like, oh, Jake Casey looks like he's on deck in the ninth. I'm like, all right, cool.
So amazing.
Bro, and he really did crush a ball.
I got it here.
Here it is.
What is it playing? There it goes. Boom. Yeah. Watch the center fielder, everybody. Watch the center fielder. That's like, dude, so Sean texted me this the other night, and we're watching and watching and watching it, and he's like, Sean goes, I think that's like 400 feet. And these days, you know, like when StatCast and all that stuff first started, you had to kind of be like, wait, that might not be right. That might be right. So I just have an inherent way of kind of like looking, wait, no, hold on. And Bill Ripken told me this. He goes, he would always look at the walls and go, if that wall is, you know, 375, and this guy hit it 14 rows in, and Ripken would do his own math on how far the baseball went. And I thought that, too. And I'm like, dude, he hit that into the gap. And I looked at the wall and this thing, it was at like 388 was one.
Yeah.
And then you look at the center fielder, dude, your kid hit a ball like 425, 430 the other day.
It was crushed, bro. I don't think I never hit a ball like that in college.
Really?
Yeah, right now. So.
Did you ever hit a ball that far in the pros?
I think I hit a. I mean, I hit a couple. I hit one. I hit one third deck in Cincinnati one time. I hit one two rows from going out in Cincinnati. I crushed one in PNC Park, bro.
Did you?
And it still amazed me now. In the center field, there's a speaker that's like to the right.
Yeah.
I hit the top of the speaker in 2001. In that same series, I got the first hit and home run. The next day, I homered. And I look out. I go to the games there now, and I'm like, I can't believe I hit a ball off the speaker. That's a bomb.
That's crazy, right?
Yeah, that's crazy.
You know, there's some guys that can do that consistently in batting practice, and they can't do it in a game, right? But, like, when you get a hold of a baseball and hit it far, I don't know if there are very many feelings in sports like when you barrel a home run. And I don't care if you're in high school, little league, it's just... And when you stand there and you're like, I don't have to run, and you just start jogging.
Yeah, and you know, Chance, you know, that feeling like when you hit it so perfect, like, oh, you got that. You're like, when you hit it good, you don't even feel it. It's kind of just like a perfect rotation of your body. The barrel catapults out. It almost like it's like a super ball coming off your bat. Like, oh, my God, that's unbelievable. And that's usually the guy will say, what pitch was that? I don't know, man. It just all kind of happened.
I know. It's so cool. And that's why I love – my favorite thing to see is when somebody gets one – and right after they're done swinging, they just stand there. Because, like, it's just your body just did everything perfectly. And then you're just like, oh, look what I did.
Yeah.
And then you realize, oh, shit, I got to start running around the bases.
That ball's crushed.
Oh, man, I love it. So we got to see the Casey family. You drinking that green drink. I told you the other night. I'm like, what are you giving these kids, dude? Because that ball was a bomb. And he's only a freshman? Freshman, right?
How tall is he? He's a freshman. He's like 6'1". I can't believe he's my son, but he... His mom must have been a good runner. Oh. Runs like a six. runs a really 6'5", 6'6", 60, so it's crazy.
Really? Yeah, I did not know fly. That. You didn't, I didn't know
he
that.
He can fly, bro, yeah.
That is so cool. So he could beat you in a race, like, what, 10 years ago? He could probably beat you in a race by then?
Oh, no. Yeah, bro. He was he came out of the womb and beat me in the race, dude.
I was just looking at, like our sizzle reel for something I need to pull out and send to one of our guys. The Dimitri Young line he's talking about. Man, you don't got to be fast. And he goes, you could be slower than you, Sean. It's such a funny line.
So funny.
Whatever. Well, when you get hits, so you don't funny. Have to run that hard.
Exactly. When you put it in the gap, you can jog, bro.
Yes,
you can jog. I remember my first year in Watertown, New York. Joel Skinner, our manager, came up to me. I was a second round pick. I'm ready. He comes up to me. He's like, hey. He's like, do you have arthritis in your hips or something? I go, I don't know. I might. I don't know why the hell my legs don't pick up, but I look like I'm ice skating in quicksand. But you know what I mean?
Wait, can I tell you something? That
you can't steal first, though, Chinch.
No, that's
you can't
true.
Steal first, baby.
But I'll tell you one thing. All my life growing up, I used to be, in some ways, because I will say I was pretty fast. I was like under a 4.5 40. And my brother got the home to first 3.7.
What?
I swear to God. Wow. And then he blew his leg out, and that's why he never went past college. But my family's pretty quick. I used to hate conditioning, whether it was in football, basketball, or baseball.
Really?
Because if I dogged it, they knew. Because I was supposed to finish first in every sprint that we had. So if I don't finish first in sprint, I'm either out of shape or I'm being lazy. But the slow guys... And there's always, not even slow, but like everybody who's kind of in the middle, I knew you did not have to run as hard on those sprints, you know, for football and high school and or baseball, whatever. And I'm like, God damn it, I wish I was slower so I could just be in the middle of a pack of these drills and just go home with that.
That's so funny, dude. It's so great.
Anyway, well, we got any more games? Did you go in any games this weekend, family?
Nope.
Now that they're all on TV, that's awesome.
Yeah, no, I'm going this weekend to hang out with my buddy Brian Kane.
Oh yeah,
out there in Arizona. Yeah, for a couple of days. I'm looking forward to that. And then I'm working next week and up at the network. And
nice.
Well, all's good, bro.
We got through a show without the Gooch coming through in a background like last week.
I know.
That was one of the funniest things.
So funny, dude.
He was
so
shocked around. So, all right, man.
I got to post that clip you had too. That was so funny, dude.
Oh yeah. He just rolled in there. Anyway. All right, Purdue.
Oh, man.
Going to be a good one. Okay, hey, you got to talk about, first of all, if you haven't seen John Lester yet, it was absolutely tremendous.
Dude.
Talk quick about that and then who we got coming
on
next.
Dude, Lester is so good. The conversation is so good. One of the best lefties of all time, in my opinion, you know, with some of his 200-117 win-loss percentage, three titles, you know, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Broke the curse with the Cubs.
Great human.
Great human being. Just a great guy. So tune in to Johnny Lester if you haven't. And next week, man, we got a special guest coming on. You know, one of the most decorated Navy SEALs of all time, Mark Divine. I mean, you know, author of Staring Down the Wolf, Unbeatable Mind, The Way of the SEAL, Kokora Yoga. Just really, really, really good stuff.
Oh, you want to talk about like discipline and putting your life in order. This man, first of all, learned how to do it while he was a Navy SEAL. He figured out how to live his life, and then he took it past... It is one of the most fascinating. It will be one of the most fascinating conversations between Sean and him that you ever hear. And most of the stuff, everything that he says is something you can take yourself and start practicing like the next day.
Exactly.
He's a very impressive human being, maybe an elite human being.
Yes, yeah, exactly. He is unbeatable. You know, just the unbeatable mind part of it, pretty cool. And he's on that podcast. He has a great podcast called The Mark Divine Show. So good.
So you got to check that out Tuesday.
He's got a few more listeners than us, Chance. We're moving up the ranks now.
We appreciate you guys. We are moving up the ranks.
Thanks for everybody that's listening to us. Tell your friends, subscribe, download, ring the bell. Do everything good that we need. So,
absolutely.
All right, Chief. Love you, brother. I'll see you next week.
See you next week.
See you, buddy.